Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of the Working While Homeschooling Podcast, the podcast for workingwhilehomeschooling.com, where our mission is to help homeschooling parents make money, maybe even have a career, while continuing to homeschool and without losing their sanity. My name is Julie, and I am your host and resident career coach today. I want to thank you all for joining us and listening in. I hope you're doing well. On today's episode, we'll be going through part two of my conversation with Colleen from My Homeschool Hub. If you're an entrepreneur or business owner, this announcement is for you. Do you have questions about how to get more clients or wonder how you can do more with less? Do you have big, crazy dreams that you're not quite sure how to tackle? Or perhaps you're wondering how you could make a real income doing any of it? If you've said yes to any of the above, you should consider signing up for one of my business entrepreneur coaching sessions. Now, being your own boss is great, but working on your own doesn't mean you have to go it alone. Coaching is going to provide you the accountability and support you need so that you can reap the rewards of being a solo entrepreneur with less doubt, stress, and struggle. So give yourself an edge over the competition. You can check out my one-on-one coaching services at my site or below. It really is time for you to be able to write your own success story. So let me help you. Again, check out the link on my site or below.
Exerting more confidence than you might really have, but, you know, still staying true.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. And that getting that one thing, that's what gave me the confidence to go after more and to go, I could do more than just this one little, you know, really narrow view of what I could do. I could help 100 people in a room at once versus one person at a time. I can do that. And I wasn't sure. I thought I could.
Right.
I wasn't sure before. And so that's kind of like a big difference I've seen. So if you think about, you know, perfectionisting out, okay, if you think about like, what are you keeping yourself from that you could do if you were let in the room, right? And then I always, you know, there's kind of interviewing. There's this one thing I always tell people. It's like, you dress for the job you dress for your boss's job, not for the job you're going for, right? Because you want them
right.
to see you
absolutely.
At that promotion. Level, but you're going to be in this job under that for a period of time to prove yourself. You want to see them to see you as promotable, right? So dress for one. You're always thinking one step up from the job you currently have. So as entrepreneurs and business, we almost have to do the same thing. Mentally dress ourselves, but externally dress ourselves for where we want to be, not necessarily where we are, because that helps other people see us as that. And then that means once they see us as that, then we see ourselves as that.
Right.
Maybe not the way it should be, but that's kind of how it was worked out for me, is that it kind of like, you know, I want people to see me as this. Well, I need to be that in order to be that.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's a good challenge for ourselves to look for the positive things in ourselves as well.
Absolutely.
Because I think we're so critical as homeschool moms, especially, like, we can be so critical of ourselves and beat ourselves up and second guess ourselves. And there's a lot of pressure and stress. Like, we want to make sure that we are doing the very best we can for our kids. And so we do have those whispers. So it's easy to give into that. But if we think about who we are on our best day and we can put that forward, I think that it can draw us up too and help us perform better and help us rise to that occasion.
Absolutely.
When we're speaking to ourselves correctly.
Think of what you're capable of, even if you haven't done it yet. There's this really fabulous concept in growth mindset. And I've been working through growth mindset this year with my kids of
I have been too. I love growth mindset.
You know, the power of the word yet. And as much as I try to be positive around my kids, I did notice last year my kids were kind of, well, I can't do that. I'm not a math person, or I'll never be this, or I'll never do that. And I'm like, oh, you can if you're willing to work for it. It might be hard work, but you can do that. You can do that. You have the physical and mental capabilities to do that. You just haven't done it yet. And so this year, I've really, you know, because I, you know, watch these videos, and then we did all this work with them, I've noticed it. I'm even doing that to myself. And I think I realized, as good as I've been trying to be my whole children's lives, they are still picking up on some of those self-limiting thoughts. They're in their preteens. They're starting to be more aware of around them and other people's capabilities. And I'm like, it's the power of yet. You just haven't done it yet. That doesn't mean you can't. I can't be an astrophysicist. That is not going to happen. But there are things I just haven't done yet. I haven't finished my book yet. And that's just again, it's just kind of going back to rewriting how we talk to ourselves and not self-limiting ourselves.
Yeah, that's great. Especially, I mean, working, homeschooling, they both can bring isolation. But I think when you add being an entrepreneur to the mix, I feel like it kind of puts it on steroids. Mm-hmm. And it takes so much time to work on your business, and it takes so much time to grow it. You know, everything is very involved. And in order to do that, you have to sacrifice a lot of things other things you might do with your time. You know, I found myself having to say no to get-togethers and hanging out and coffee dates. And, you know, I've had some friends who have stopped talking to me because, you know, I had to tell them no so many times. And I get that. There's no hard feelings there. But the reality is, it can be super, super isolating when you are an entrepreneur and a homeschooler.
Yeah.
And a working mom, all three of those things, you know. So how do you deal with it? How have you dealt with that through the course of your homeschooling, you know, parents, working mom career?
Well, I'll tell you, it is hard. And some years are better than others. My last 2 years, 2017, 2019, were pretty rough in that I pretty much didn't get out of the house. And I did have some, let's say, acquaintance-based friends that I just had to let go of.
Right.
Some friends that, frankly, were maybe a little bit more financially and time-wise more flexible. Mm-hmm. Literally all they ever wanted to go do was go out and spend money, like whether it was go out and shop or go out and watch, you know, movies that were $25, you know, movies that are so expensive to go to, and go out, right. Oh, we'll just go out to dinner. Don't worry, we don't have to spend money. But then they would pick a really expensive restaurant where I was thinking like dollar menu at McDonald's, you know. And I finally just looked at her and said, look, we are in two different places in our lives. I work, I homeschool, I have two special needs children. I pretty much don't have time for friends right now. And she just looked at me like I was being harsh. I'm going, you know, because the kind of friendship you're looking for is not the kind of friendship I can do right now. So sometimes there's certain people it's okay to let people go. Like, you don't have to be friends with certain people, right? Nothing, that's not
part of
all. So to give yourself permission to let go of, let's say, the acquaintance level or the lesser friendships, your close friends will understand. And when you come back, they'll just be happy to see you.
Right.
However, I think getting rid of Superwoman syndrome is a really big deal. Okay.
Right.
If you were working in an office, this would not be a problem. Like, if you were working for someone else, because you would leave it at the office and then go home. One of the issues about entrepreneurs, especially solopreneurs, because we're by ourselves. Okay. So the business of one, right? That's just naturally isolating because we're not working in an office with 20 other people. I mean, it's kind of got a natural isolation thing already happening. If you're working from home, that's another way to be isolated because you're not going to an office. You're not running a storefront. You don't, you know, my clients are all virtual. I don't have people who walk into my store every single day, and I'm still seeing people. So there are some natural isolating concepts that are kind of happening naturally. But I'll tell you, one of the things I do is I force myself to leave the house. I have office hours. Now, I might work outside of those office hours, but sometimes you just have to close the virtual door. I finished a big project a few weeks ago, and I had, you know, trying to wrap it up and do edits and all of that. Frankly, I had worked around the clock for like 2 days, like, you know, 10, 12 hour days around the kids, like, you know, 8 a.m. to, you know, 10 or 11 o'clock at night, just trying to get it all done. The second it was done, I was like, oh my God, that huge thing is off my plate. You know what? I'm doing nothing tomorrow. I had friends who were going out to lunch. I'm going to lunch. So setting clearly defined office hours, I think it is harder when you're working from home, when you're running your own business, when there's so much to do, you're an office of one, but you almost have to shut the door on it. My office hours were
how do you do that? I mean, I've found there's times where, like, I'll set timers, and when the timer goes off, I just have to stop now.
Yes.
But then I think, oh, I can just jump on and do this one thing really quickly. And then, you know, you get on the computer, and then three other things drop in, and you're doing that. And then you forget why you got on in the first place. And, you know, another hour and a half is gone from your life.
Timers,
like, how do you manage that successfully?
Timers are excellent. Okay. I have, you know, on my calendar, on my desktop computer, you know, it beeps at me when I need to leave. Mm. So, like, I know I have to take the kids somewhere. I literally schedule in time on my calendar. So it beeps at me 15 minutes before. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, my drive.
Yeah, I do that too.
Yeah, my commute time is an appointment on my calendar. Imagine if you literally blocked out in your calendar, okay, my office hours are from 12 to 2 every day. Well, the first thing it's going to do is it's going to, and like, if you literally literally block it off in your calendar and you know you only have 2 hours to get things done today, it almost makes you hyper vigilant and hyper aware to make sure you get a lot done in that 2 hours because you know you only have, quote unquote, 2 hours. And then every single time another thought or another idea comes to mind, I write it down. I go back to that vomit to-do list. Mm-hmm. I just write it down. And now that it's written down, I won't forget it. And then I move on. It's a habit.
Do you carry your book with you everywhere? Like, do you have a book that you keep your lists in, or how do you manage that?
I do have a paper calendar planner. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have the computerized ones. You know, we have cozies, you know, so that way my husband and we can all share. But that's more of like, okay, this kid needs to be here when? Here's the grocery list, blah, blah, blah. So I do have some stuff on my phone, on my apps on my phone. However, like a lot of studies have shown that writing stuff out actually helps your brain process it better versus typing it on a computer or putting it in an app. Mm-hmm. So I've gone back to the paper planner and I do carry that in my purse. But when that's not convenient, I send an email to myself.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'll open it up and just send my email and just, you know, like let's say I'm at the kids' writing lessons and I'm like, oh, yeah. And I'll just open it up and it's like, I don't want to forget it. And so I'll send this, you know, whatever convoluted, whatever email to myself. And that way, at least I know it's in my inbox and one day it'll get done. Maybe not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That day. And then I can let it go because I know I can't forget it. And for me, I think almost my anxiety levels were so about, if I don't do that, I'm going to forget it. Oh, if I don't do this, I'm going to forget it. And then I, you know, frankly, you kind of become the little, go down the, your little rabbit trails and you don't know where you were. So.
Right. It's that tornado we were talking about at the beginning, yes. Right?
Yes. So writing it down, it's the silliest, dumbest trick, but it really, really works. And then emotionally, I can almost let that go because I know I will get to it eventually. I just don't have to worry about it right now. But if I don't write it down, you know, it's off to the next little squirrel thought in my head. And 6 months from now, I'll think of that. I'm like, oh, I should have done that. So I'll just write it down. That's the biggest trick. And the other one is a really hard stop on work. Now, I don't have that in this house, but in where we've lived before, I always had a separate office. So one of the bedrooms, we always converted to my office, even if my kids were in the other room. And part of that was so I could close the door when I'm on the phone with the client. Like I don't need them walking through the kitchen when I'm in the middle of a podcast.
Right.
This house, we're in an apartment and we just don't have that kind of space. So, you know, my office is my bedroom and I'm not a fan of that personally because I don't like going to bed and staring at my desk. Awful.
Oh, yeah.
But being able to say, oh, you know what? I'm done. And just walking out the door and shutting the door on your work is something psychological.
Yeah, that's a really hard part about working at home because it's, you never get a break from it. It's always there.
It's always there.
Always. You don't have that separation.
You have to force the separation. You have to force separate, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of have to, you know, and sometimes I'll keep going back to it. And sometimes the kids are watching this show that, you know, is mind-numbing to me or whatever. You know what, I'm going to pick my laptop up and just do emails for 30 minutes while they're watching this stupid show. I'm going to go work on my social media. That's what I've been working on recently. I'm going to go work on all these social media things and have them prep for the year because it's mindless. You know, but I'll pick something I can do, right?
Yeah.
And when my mind starts churning back up, I force myself to write it down and then force myself to mentally shut the door on that because I need to be present for my kids. Right?
That's a really hard thing to do.
It is really hard.
It's really hard. Yeah. And it's so critical. Yeah, I find myself battling with that, like, especially if when we're driving, because my kids do tons of activities, you know? So we'll be driving places and to and from, and I'll catch myself, like, thinking about my to-do list in my mind while we're driving, and I have to, like, stop myself and say, you know what, this is quality time that I can have with my kids, engage them, talk to them, don't just check out and drive and think on my own. You know, it's really important to be mindful of what we're thinking about and what we're putting our energy on and what our kids are doing in that process too, right?
Yeah. I think I'm okay.
It's easy to make them take a back seat.
Sometimes the best aha moments you come up with happen when your mind is wandering. And I'm okay to that to a certain extent. Now, one of my personal tricks, and I swear my kids have, I'm their personal chauffeur now. That's like my fifth job.
Get it. Me too.
You know, one of the things I've done is I always prep something for me to do. So like if I'm going to be sitting in the car for an hour waiting for X to be done or whatever, I always have a plan for that time. And it, you know, it might be something as mind numbing as going through all of these like ridiculous emails that show up and like unsubscribing myself.
Oh yeah.
For an hour a week, or going through and deleting all the junk, or going through and, you know, going back and, you know, I stuff that may look interesting, I always put in a folder to be read later, you know? And I probably have like 5 trillion things in that folder by now. And so sometimes it's like, okay, my task today is to go through that. And I, you know, have my little notebook in my purse. And then like, if there's something good, I'll make a note of it. But otherwise I'm just going to read it, delete, you know? And then I only stuff that I really like. Sometimes one of those little spammy emails just has a phrase in it and it makes me think of this and it sends me down this rabbit trail. And then, oh, here's another idea for a podcast, or, oh, you know, I could write an article in that blog. So anything that's going to kind of perk my creative juices. But I always try to have like one extra thing so I don't feel like I'm wasting my valuable time as well. So
yeah.
Quality time is quality time, not necessarily quantity. Right? So when I'm with my kids doing a thing, I'm not feeling guilty because I'm not getting work done, because I know that, you know, hey, I drove them all the way to tennis lessons and sat there for a freaking hour and a half, but I got an hour and a half worth of minutia out of my way while I was sitting. And so tonight we can come home and we can play that board game and we can discuss that book that they just read. And what about this? And, you know, I can sit outside their music lesson and say, hey, I saw how far you're getting your workbook from your music. That's really great. You know, so the time I have with them, and because they're teens, they really don't want me around anymore. But the time I have with them, the quality versus, you know, I'm just there. And then I'm feeling guilty because I'm not using that time to my best interest.
Right. So, yeah. Time management is huge.
It is huge. It is huge. And to be honest, I am naturally awful at it. I'm really.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it sounds like you've come up with awesome tools, so you're doing a good job with it.
They're all hacks, right? Because I am so naturally awful at it, I've had to kind of force myself to learn. But none of this is natural or gifted. I was like, my mother is despaired of me as a child. I was the worst artsy fartsy, you know, artistic, creative brain person. I was always, you know, my mind was always somewhere else. You know, I heard all of that. And
yeah,
and then I became an adult and like, I didn't have anybody else to like find my keys for me or, you know, whatever it might be, or to remember to pay the bills. And so you naturally come up with coping mechanisms, and I just have a billion because I'm so awful at it. But like, you know, you were talking about imposter syndrome. And one of the things I realized is because I am so awful at it that I've had to learn it. It doesn't come natural to me, that it's really easy for me to teach others now. And I didn't realize, frankly, I've heard my entire life how bad I am at this. And I've had to overcompensate for so long. I never realized being good. And other people are not as good at that as I thought they were, right? You know, because I've been comparing myself to this crazy whatever model.
Totally.
I have hyper-organized, like, you know, just drill sergeant organized parrots, you know, just anal retention. And they're naturally like that. I mean, naturally. So when I wasn't, they didn't know what to do. They could quote unquote do it. I don't know. You just do it. That's what my dad used to tell me. And
well, that helps.
Yeah. Because he did just do it. It was just inherently natural to him. He didn't and frankly, because he could just do it, his brain couldn't conceptualize the fact that other people just can't do it.
Right.
So I had to like build up all these kind of like little personal hacks and, you know, coping mechanisms. And I didn't even realize I was doing that because I had to learn it consciously. Now, when other people have difficulties, you can ask me, how do you do this? How do you just close a door on that? And to me, none of this is just because you do it, right? So it's...
No, you have to be so intentional to make it all work. It takes a lot of thought and commitment.
It takes a lot of thought. I swear, if somebody tested my executive function as a kid, it would have been below zero. I mean, and my mother despaired. She's like, I don't know how you're going to survive in life if you can't do... You know, just that kind of mother drama. She's like, I just don't know how you're going to survive in life. You're going to have to live with me forever because you can't find your keys. No, melodrama.
Yeah.
What did I do? I in my 20s, and I'm out of college, and I still can't find my keys, and you know, all those kind of simple things. And I learned I have a key. I have a little I have something by my front door, and it's been the exact same something for like 20 years. I have a little by my door, and when I walk in, there my keys go, because I built the habit of always putting my keys here.
Yeah.
Now, if my keys aren't in that thing, I freak, but there are like one or two other spots, but that's just, I walk in the door and I don't even have to think about it anymore. I had to build the habit.
Right. Yeah. So
some of your worst quote unquote faults, the things that we beat ourselves up for the most, are the things that I really think are going to be our biggest benefit at some point. That is going to be how you help others. That's how you're going to help all these homeschoolers that you're helping through your blog and through your website. You know, the things that you've really had to struggle through, first of all, you're going to be empathetic to when they're struggling with that.
Right.
Because it didn't come naturally to you and you had to work hard for it. You're going to know what those coping mechanisms are, or those tricks, or hey, you know, here's my tips on this. And it's just my tips. Even doing the Working While Homeschooling site, I did have a little bit of that imposter syndrome. I knew I had been doing it for so long, but I only knew from my experience. I didn't know that that would work for anybody else.
Right.
And then I started talking to people and started building the websites like, oh my God, I really do know more than I thought I did. The fact that I do this, and other people are going, oh my gosh, how are you so organized? And then my mom just laughs at me. She's like, you were getting compliments on organization. That's rich. You know,
look, mom, I turned out okay.
Yeah. So, you know, the things that you're weakest in, and I think in the homeschooling world, and especially the blogging and posting world, the more authentic and natural and honest we are with ourselves and with our community, that builds trust and relationships.
Right. I mean, yeah. We need more authenticity in our world.
Yeah. This is what I struggle with. Here are a couple things that helped me along the way. I hope they're helpful to you too. Right.
Yeah.
That's all. Yep. So be kind and be with yourself, but just know that those things that you are bane of your existence are one day going to be your best strength.
If we don't beat ourselves up too much, then they can be, right? If we don't put our energy into bad things.
If you allow yourself to overcome it, you will. But if you keep self-defeating and say, well, I can never do that, I'm never going to be organized, then I probably would still be living at home, not able to find my keys. But my mother is also very type A, and she wasn't going to allow that. You know, she's like, oh no,
right.
You will learn organization if it kills me, and it might kill you too, but you're going to learn.
You will not live in this house your whole life.
Oh, this is how you're going to do that. And she's very, very analytical, so she could break it down into like 50,000 steps for me.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it as a kid, but now I'm like, and now I get it, because now I can break it down to 50,000 steps for others because I learned it that way. So, but you know, don't listen to the negative voice in your head other than, no, I'm not going to become an astronaut. So I'm not going to beat myself up about that. I know my own limitations, right? But I'm not going to beat myself up because I don't want to be an astrophysicist, right? So, but I'm also going to not allow the negativity, because I've begun to value myself more than that. But it was a journey, and I had a really awful negative record player in my head for a long time, and I just had to cut it and say, stop it. I don't care anymore. No, being organized is not my strength. But I found my keys today. Hey,
right.
I figured out a hack that if I put this little thing by the door, and if I can just remember to drop my keys there every single time, I'll always find my keys.
Mm-hmm.
Seems obvious to others, but it was miraculous for me, right? That saved me 20 minutes every single morning, and I actually get to work on time now. And I, you know, it's like, it was just little things. Just focus on the little things that you can improve and keep the negative voice out of your head. And then just do one thing at a time. When you're back after a crisis, and I was dealing with chronic fatigue and chronic illness, when your resources are vastly more limited, you just have to work smart.
Yeah.
And I had to accept and give up that I used to be able to do all of this. I used to be able to run at 95 miles an hour and be okay. But because I did that for so long, now I can only run at 50.
Mm-hmm.
And 50 is okay. I'm still making forward progress. Like,
right.
I fall back into that sometimes still. As long as I'm, you know, taking care of my health, and as long as I follow my little rules about, you know, what I can do and what I can't do, and I don't overdo it, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go at 75 miles
miles an hour, but I can go at 50. So it's still a struggle, but over far too long, I've finally become a little bit more accepting of myself and where I'm at.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, Colleen,
that's very important.
It really is. And it's a journey. Hopefully 10 years from now, I'll be better at it than I am today.
Yeah, hopefully we all will be.
Exactly. Thank you so much for your time, Colleen, today, and appreciate you talking to me here.
No, thank you. I appreciate you sharing your knowledge with me and giving me time and space in your podcast to go through these things. And, you know, I'm sure, I have no doubt that all the stuff that you've talked about today is going to help so many moms, because I think it's things that we all struggle with. So I'm grateful for you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, as we wrap up our episode today, I want to thank you all for listening in. There are a ton of great podcasts out there, but you chose to spend your time here with me, so thank you. Please be sure to check out all the show notes for the links to my site, workingmomhomeschooling.com, and all of the great ways that you can connect with me online. And I do appreciate our listener supporters. So if you've enjoyed today's podcast, you too can support me with a small monthly donation that's going to help me continue with great content and interviews like you've heard here today on the Working Mom Homeschooling podcast. Just check out the show notes for the link. I appreciate your online reviews, all of you that have been subscribing to our podcast. Thank you to all of you that have been sharing this with your homeschooling friends. And if you know someone that you think would be a great guest of our podcast, please let me know at julie@workingmomhomeschooling.com. Thank you for listening in today. Thank you to Colleen for being our guest. And make sure you're joining us in our Facebook group for continuing conversation on today's topic and beyond. I look forward to seeing each of you soon at our next podcast for Working Mom Homeschooling.